Hello and welcome back to the QSI podcast series. Thanks for joining us again and for supporting our podcasting. Today we're going to be looking at the mismanagement of the Queensland Spanish mackerel fishery, and we'll be having a chat with four members of the Spanish mackerel working group, one of which is no longer a member. The two commercial reps that I'll be speaking to today are Richard Gilmore and Peter Stevens. From the recreational sector, Gary Powers, and a former member from the charter sector, and it should be noted that there is no charter representative on the current Spanish Mackerel Working Group, and that is Rob Drain. Thanks again for joining me. It's a very interesting podcast. It's slightly longer form, so if you've got some time spare, please make the time to listen to this, and also be aware that we have 6 days left to provide feedback to the government's ridiculous consultation process, one element being their online form, which is very biased in the way it's been set up. This is a theme that's been presented to me by a number of different stakeholder groups, and of course the invitation only consultation process undertaken over the last week or so. A reminder to the department, in particular to the Minister for Fisheries, Minister Ferner, that invitation-only meetings and an online survey does not constitute a regulatory impact statement. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and over to my guests.
Today I have Richard Gilmore, who is a commercial fishing rep, joining us. How are you, Richard?
I'm good, thanks, Eric. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Peter Stevens, who is also a commercial Spanish mackerel fisherman. How are you, Matt?
Good, thanks, Eric.
Thank you for joining us. So, Rob Drain. Rob, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Eric.
I'm happy to have you here, mate. Thank you for joining us. You are a charter operator and commercial fishing license owner as well?
Correct, that's right, and a keen recreational fisher as well.
Okay, well, there you go. And I also have a note here that you are also a scientist, yes?
Yeah, I'm a applied chemist and chemical engineer.
Our final representative from the rec sector is Gary Powers.
Good, Eric, how are you?
Excellent. So I might start with Richard if I can. What's the common thread amongst this group here today, if you can let the listeners know?
From we all have a consensus that we struggle to agree with what the science is telling us.
What we are faced with collectively is the, and there's no good way to say this, the mismanagement of the Spanish mackerel fishery, which will have implications for all sectors involved. So if we look at it from that point of view, and I don't shy away from saying the minister and his department have mismanaged the fishery. I might start with you, Richard, from a Richard and Peter from a commercial perspective. Richard, firstly, where do you think things have gone wrong, and what implications are there for the commercial sector?
It's very difficult to understand where things have gone wrong. When we look at the previous stock assessments and all of the stock assessments up until the recent 2021 assessment had the stocks at, you know, around that 40% mark. So there were no real red flags. The scientists for the last probably 30 years have raised issues around the harvesting of the Spanish mackerel around the spawning aggregations, which, okay, is totally understandable. And we also agree with, or some of us do anyway. Now, when they've brought out the recent 2021 stock assessment, my major concern is that they have changed parameters within recreational harvest take, and also we have other concerns of how they've utilised data within that stock assessment to get the outcome that we've landed at today. From a management point of view, the commercial fishery has been under a quota management system since 2004, and to be hit with this in the last 12 months, basically saying that the fishery is being overfished and they're going to reduce it, is going to have a massive impact on industry, and that's a major.
Thank you, Richard. Peter?
I think the biggest, well, one of the biggest things is the way they've done it. They've looked at the ecological side of things, and they appear to have paid a bit of attention to that, but they've paid absolutely no attention to the economic or the social considerations of anything they're proposing here. It's like Richard said, some of the data that they're presenting to us is very, very dodgy. And as a result of them presenting this rubbish data and only looking at the environmental considerations there, the economic and the social stuff they're doing is going to affect a lot of people, and they appear to be ignoring that.
Rob, from your perspective in the charter world, what do you see as the impacts coming of any changes to the management of the fishery?
Yeah, it's quite significant, particularly for the northern region of Queensland. Spanish mackerel is a key target species for charter operators. You can get pretty good value from catching a few fish. You can provide the customers a fair bit of meat from Spanish mackerel. We've got a fairly good meat to body ratio from a Spanish mackerel, plus they're a good sporting fish to catch. So from a charter point of view, a very good target species. And I guess the key issue that we have as charter operators is that we're not seeing in the field what's being reported in this latest stock assessment. We're not seeing the lack of fish that supposedly exists out there. And so we don't believe that there should be any impact on us as a commercial operation with respect to bag limits.
Gary, your perspective, mate, from that recreational point
from
of view.
From the recreational, it's been an interesting journey, I suppose you could call it. I've sort of got pretty friendly with Richard. I didn't have a lot of commercial mates, I had a couple, but I'm taking it from the recreational perspective. The same as all the other concerns, the data that has been used for the assessment is a concern to recreational fishermen. They see what the commercial guys see. They see how many mackerel are out there and how they're caught, how we catch them. At times there can be a pile of mackerel there and they won't bite. Everyone who fishes for them knows that. And so the data inputs and the assumptions that have been used from 1911, trying to tell us how many fish are in the water on the whole East Coast in 1911 is an assumption. And in the last meeting we had in Cairns, I actually stood up and had a bit of a heartfelt spray. And it's just a little bit disappointing that the working group has probably over 200 years of Spanish mackerel fishing experience on it, and that experience isn't getting used. We're not being asked, we're being sort of told in a way of what was around in 1911, what's around in 2021. And those issues concern a lot of people. Scientists telling people who are on the water regularly what's going on out there. So probably the lack of communication between the people on the coalface, you could say. So that's a bit of a worry, is the data they use. And I think everyone agrees with that. The data that's been used, or the assumptions as they call it in the science field, is a concern, because what we see on the water is totally different to what they see in the textbook.
Thank you. So many questions here. I might start at the most pressing one, which is around the document that we're being asked to provide feedback onto the department by, I think, the 5th of May. Yeah, so I'll start with you, Gary. I'll work the other way around on this. What do you think of that document? Is it reflective, one, of the discussions that you're aware of in broad terms? I know you can't get into specifics.
It's a document that wasn't discussed in the last working group meeting. We discussed a public consultation document, but what came out and what's proposed to the public isn't what we see. That's a very disappointing thing. It's more of a tick and flick. And I sort of believe it's a little bit one-sided to one sector than the other. So it's a very interesting thing to have something come out in public consultation that we didn't even see is concerning.
Rob?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Eric. Look, I think generally with regards to these tick and flick approaches, we see a segment of the community that isn't involved in the industry have a larger influence on these types of approaches to the community. They may well come from a different point of motivation compared to people who are directly involved in the industry. And typically we see that might come from a conservation movement or the likes. So I'm not a big fan of these tick and flick approaches. With regards to the discussion paper, I must say that I had previously resigned from the working group. I was motivated enough to go through the stock assessment. That's the 2020-2021 stock assessment, and ask some very relevant questions to the Department of Fisheries. Those questions were largely left unresponded to, and subsequently I didn't feel that I was either being valued as a working group member or wanted to be associated further as a working group member. So I subsequently resigned and did that officially through the Department of Fishery. The other thing that I'd like to add to the comment, or the commentary discussion, is that there's various things in the stock assessment that that really require further questioning. And I don't believe that the information involved in the discussion paper really addresses a lot of the questions that are around about or have been asked about the stock assessment. So I think it's, to be honest, I honestly believe it's too early to deliver a discussion paper to the public. There's more questions that need to be answered officially with regards to the stock assessment and the findings of the stock assessment.
Peter, what's your view of the document that the department put out for commentary, mate?
As everyone else has said, it wasn't the one that we'd actually seen. And by them releasing this now, they appear to be trying to cover their asses with what they've done or what they haven't done with things like regulatory impact statements and that sort of stuff. Lots of people in the working group have been pushing them fairly hard on their not following the procedures that they're supposed to, and they may be reacting to that, and they've put this thing out to tick the box like everyone else has said. The actual questions they put on it have a lot of leading questions, so they're leading towards a desired result on their behalf, as what I can see. They're aiming to get a response, and the response they're probably aiming for, like everyone said, is from a targeted audience.
Richard, your view?
Respect to what the public's being asked to do, I don't feel that the overall public should be determining exactly what harvest level the commercial sector has. When you look at the recreational sector, you know, some of them will be more inclined to be more concerned about what they're catching themselves, not about the greater value of the commercial fishery. So that's a bit of a concern. Now, as to what the recreational harvest is, that's totally up to the rec sector to decide, and fisheries, whatever. I'm not going to have any say in that. Now, I've gone through the paper, and I've filled out part that we had no choice in documenting. And my probably most important part is that bottom section where it says comment. The comment section in there, you can write as much as you want. To date, we had a meeting with the Fisheries Queensland upper management in Cairns the other day, the commercial fishing sector, where it was invitation primarily to the guys that rely 100% on the Spanish mackerel fishery. And it gave those guys an opportunity to have their say. Whether that achieves anything or not, I don't know. But we were told that only 1,000 submissions have been put in so far. And we've got sort of around a week left, I think, for the first round of the consultation process to happen. So my suggestion to every commercial fisherman out there, every retailer, everyone who enjoys eating Spanish mackerel is get a submission in, tell them exactly what you think and how it will affect you. And that, you know, ultimately you want to access East Coast caught Spanish mackerel. You want to be able to go down to your local fish shop and know that you had a commercial fisherman was out fishing in over the last week and has supplied you with fresh fish. So, you know, this is what's happening, is they're removing the greater public's right to access wild caught seafood in Queensland. And that is a massive concern for us. They're hedging their bets towards aquaculture. And when I read that discussion paper, it shows very true.
Collectively, I think the issues around how this paper was developed, and I think I'm hearing you all, well, at least I'm getting a sense that it's not ideal the way that they consulted with this paper. More to the point, these meetings, and we were made aware of them after meeting number two, we will push very strongly publicly for a properly funded regulatory impact statement. Peter brought this up in his response before. The reform never got a riz. The introduction of VMS never got a riz. I think if they're going to do something right, they need to do this. And I understand that the department can run its processes the way that it sees fit. But it's strange to me that on the one hand, they will have invitation-only meetings, and on the other, they will ask openly, why is industry not engaged with the department? And to have meetings where it's invite-only, to me, is not acceptable. And there are a lot of people that are going to be impacted by what happens with their decision-making, which is not acceptable on any grounds. And you've all made the case for that. So my next set of questions revolve around from a sector perspective, and I'll start with Gary, if I could. What ultimately do you want the minister to be thinking about when he's looking at the feedback that comes back from everyone from a rec perspective? So just if you can take that perspective, that'd be great.
The bag limits of one per person, two per boat. There are a few Spanish mackerel rec fishermen who just target Spanish mackerel. And the way costs are going up these days, to go out and if you fish by yourself to bring one fish home. And I know we've got the option to chase other species, but there are people out there who just like going out and catching their mackerel. I'm not saying we should still be able to fill the boat and have 10 Spanish mackerel or 5 per person, but the lower limit of 1 per person, 2 per boat makes it not all that worthwhile going out and hunting around for a Spanish mackerel. And as we all know, there's plenty out there. They're not that hard to catch. So from a rec perspective, that's probably where I'm looking at. because you're going to have that flow-on effect with tackle stores, food. Everyone buys a cold chook or something like that to go out for a fish. Fuel, ice. It's a flow-on effect. It's the same with the commercial guys. If it's not viable, then that fish has to come from somewhere else. Mum and dad who don't fish like their Spanish mackerel as well, they don't want to be eating mackerel from Indonesia or somewhere like that. They want to be supporting our local commercial guys who can go out, make a living, earn a good living, and that's what it's all about. So from the recreational side, probably one per person, which they're talking about, and two per boat, probably doesn't make it worthwhile filling your boat up with fuel these days at $2 a litre to go out there. But our recreational side of it is totally different to the Peters and the Richards and those guys who rely on this to put food on their table and their family. So it's that's probably why when I went into the working group, I went in there as a rec, but bonded pretty quickly with the commercial guys, because you shouldn't be allowed to deny someone a living if figures and facts aren't scrutinised thoroughly.
I'll go to Rob now. Rob, what's your view from a charter perspective? What do you want to see happen?
Thanks very much for the question, Eric. Yeah, look, it's a really good question. What we can say from a charter perspective, if these bag limits come in where they're saying it's one fish per person, it really won't be worth going the 80 miles or so that we have to go on a round trip to go chasing them, particularly out of Townsville. We may have to go 80 to 100 nautical miles on a round trip. So what we'll see, and I touched upon this before, is that from a charter point of view, the Spanish mackerel is a very targeted species, sustainably targeted. We see a heck of a lot of Spanish mackerel out there, and we fish responsibly and take what entertains and can provide for our customers. But the bag limits that are currently set at 3 per person is more than adequate for what we do. When we compare that to, I guess, our fishing effort, if we can't take Spanish mackerel, then we have to turn to other species. And as I touched on before, the meat to body ratio for a Spanish mackerel is quite significant when we compare that to bottom fish like nanny guy and the like. So to provide our customers the same amount of return for their investment in the charter fishing venture, we have to catch significantly more nanny guy or reds or trout to provide them the same amount of food, if you like. And a lot of our customers come for the entertainment side of things, but they also come to get some meat in their eskies. So I think from a charter operation point of view, it's a significant issue, and it's not a viable species to chase at one per person.
Peter, from a commercial fisher perspective, you know, we've talked about this a lot, about what the impacts on commercial industry will be, but it'll be good to get yours and Richard's perspectives on this. So where do you see this going, and what kind of impacts are you going to see from an industry perspective?
It's going to have huge impacts on the industry. The biggest one at the moment is the uncertainty. They don't appear to know what they're doing. It removes the ability for us to plan. It removes the ability for us to work out what we're doing. And I suppose the concern that all of a sudden something that's been sustainable and achievable for 20 years has all of a sudden been declared no good and they're going to knock it on the head. That's probably the most startling thing.
Richard, from an impact perspective, what's your view, mate?
I think this is going to have huge ramifications on the commercial fishing industry as a whole, not the line fishing industry predominantly. There are, only, I believe, around 25 to 30 operations out there that target Spanish mackerel as their main source of income. And those guys, their ability to get quota, or like once they cut to the quota amounts that they're talking, you're looking at wiping out pretty much all of those guys. For them to be financially viable, going to be very difficult to see. Now, the meeting we had the other day with fisheries, there's nothing on the table for us either. And that's a major concern. And when the minister can sit back and send all the fisheries managers into a meeting with the guys that are directly affected by this and actually offer nothing and say, well, we've got nothing to offer you. There's no money on the table. These guys, we're looking at their fisheries about to, they're about to start preparing their boats and everything for the new season. Now, that new season, when it kicks off June, July, August, they're going to be spending $20,000 to $30,000, $40,000 on preparing their boats, getting bait, ice, fuel, and pulling the boats out of the water doing all their maintenance and what have you. How can you spend $20,000 to $40,000 on preparing a vessel when you have no idea whether you're going to even be able to go to work? The ability for us to secure enough quota for those operators particularly is, well, at current what fisheries are proposing is not going to happen. So they're basically wiping out the industry. My other primary concern as well with respect to the whole line fishery as a whole is you've got all the line boats on the East Coast. There's over 200 of those that own Spanish mackerel endorsement. Now, we rely upon Spanish mackerel to help supplement our income. You know, the ability for us to be a multi-diverse operation is crucial on us staying viable. When you start taking species off the table and by removing quota, you remove our ability to be viable. So it will have huge ramifications right up and down the coast. So for the minister to not have anything to offer the sector as a whole is a worry. And I don't believe that he's putting enough thought into the 80%+ of the Australian population that eat seafood regularly. Throughout winter months up here especially, not many recreational fishermen can go fishing. We have to go fishing because that's our primary source of income. And a lot of those guys are our customers. Where are they going to get their fish from? Yeah, there has to be a little bit more credence put towards the commercial sector as a whole and importance throughout the whole economy. Because I can tell you now, my business, every cent I earn through the fishing industry gets spent back in the local economy. Simple as that. So, and I'm certain it goes for every other fisherman here. We're not owned by big multinational corporations or anything like that. We just want to go to work, earn an income, and feed the population. And that's what drives us to keep going to work.
Thanks, Richard. Look, gentlemen, this has been good, and thank you for your feedback on this issue. I might start with you, Richard, if I can, as a message to go to Minister Mark Ferner, who is the Minister for Fisheries and Agriculture. What would you say to him about where we need to go next with this the reform of this particular fishery, Richard, from a commercial perspective?
I think this reform process needs to be put on hold. Give the fishery time for us to actually review the science. We've been put in a position where we have been told in the working group that the science is not to be questioned. You know, the premise of science is it needs to be questioned. As Rob has pointed out, and all of us, we're all of the agreement that, you know, we need to have the ability to source this out to other stock assessment scientists, whoever may take it up, to have the opportunity to see where these guys, either they got it wrong or they got it right. So it goes two ways. Either they've got this one wrong or they've got every stock assessment wrong before this last one. So ultimately we need time to actually see what went on instead of closing the industry and destroying businesses and lives. Just slow down and measure the approach a lot more sensibly than what's currently being proposed.
Thank you, Richard. Peter, same question to you. What would you say to Minister Mark Ferner if you had the chance to speak to him about where this is going? And
I would say exactly what Richard's just said, and I've actually introduced it during the meetings. And the idea is measure twice, cut once. What they're going to do, or what they're planning on doing, is very drastic. If you read some of the stuff floating around, one interpretation is basically saying the fishery's been cactus since 2004 anyway. If it has been, and we've been maintaining our level sustainably since then, there's no urgent need to do it right now. Measure it twice, get accurate data. They need to base any decisions on accurate data. And like I said, measure twice, cut once.
Thank you, Peter. Go over to Rob now. Rob, what would your message be if you had one for the minister?
Thanks, Eric. Look, I agree wholeheartedly with Peter and Richard. I think what's required here is the need to fast track another stock assessment. The existing stock assessment has some significant flaws in it. A simple thing is the level of accuracy or confidence that's stated in the stock assessment is things like plus or minus 4%. There's no way anybody knows this fishery to that level of accuracy when they've used data like Gary touched on from supposedly fisheries stock in 1911 is assumed to be things like 8,000 tonne. There's just not the historical data to support their findings. So what needs to happen is essentially a rescinding or an addendum to the existing stock assessment, and then a fast tracking of the second stock assessment that includes the industry. This last stock assessment didn't include the industry, and didn't really include any impact with regards to weather and those sorts of things. I think a classic is that the stock assessment that we're meant to refer to says that in 2021, last year, there was not many fish around. There was less than 17% fish around, yet 2021 was a bumper year for Spanish mackerel. So I think the feedback that the working group has given and the anecdotal evidence that we've seen needs to be taken into consideration for a subsequent stock assessment. Findings and actions from the 2021 stock assessment need to be put on hold until we get that additional data.
And last but not least, Gary, from a rec perspective, what would you say to the minister?
I would probably like to point out what or everyone else has said is it comes back to the data. And if we rush in like they're going to with the cuts to commercial, cuts to recreation, we're losing more data of what they've been using. So if you take 79% away, which has been touted for the commercial, and a one per person, we're losing more data. So we're getting data poor. My big concern is if we lose that data, how do we get that back to say we're having an improvement? And we put stuff forward in the working group about maybe let's just try a closed season at certain months for a couple of years, but it wasn't accepted because they believe that the rebuilding process won't happen fast enough. So the drastic measures are coming in straight away, hopefully not, and that's taking data away from us, what we need to do. From a recreational side of it, we need more recreational data, and that's been acknowledged through every working group that there is. Whether they bring out apps or we try and get everyone recreationally to use those apps and we can get data, because without data, the scientists can run with whatever they like and we can't question it. Like Richard said, we were told not to question any data or science. We've just got to come up with a harvest strategy. And it's been very hard correcting a lot of other groups out there that represent the tackle industry and the boating industry. The poor old working group have got the raw end of the pineapple because it's been portrayed this is our idea. And the commercial men, the recreational side of it. So we just need to slow it down a little bit. Like Rob said, maybe we get another assessment going very quickly and use the experience we have. We use the Peter, we use the Richards, we use the guys that are on the water more than me, miles more than me. Let's face it, if they said to the recreational, we'll go to one mackerel per person, two per boat, won't affect me. But what they're doing to Richard and Peter and the seafood industry, the commercial seafood industry, people have houses, people have families, and that's just not right. You just can't do that to people without backing it up with proof. And I'm sure if they came with the proof and the correct data and everyone got to sit around and look at it and go over it and discuss it together, not be told what's happening, I think we would all come out with a much better outcome for everybody.
Gary, thank you for that. So there you go, Minister. You've got multi-sector stakeholders speaking to me today, giving you where we should go with this. And I think it's highly reflective of what the different sectors have been telling government for quite some time. It's bitterly disappointing that disconnect between what you've been saying to me in the last 40 odd minutes last half an hour or so, and where we're at just suggests to me that someone's not listening. And I think there are multiple levels in which this needs to be corrected, but it definitely needs to start at the top. And what we don't need is to be rushing into things. And unfortunately, it looks like they're powering ahead. And what concerns me as an advocate, and I'm sure will concern other stakeholder groups, is that the way in which the consultation on this has been carried out, we for a long time have said to the department, and this is my ask of the minister, your government is going through a review of integrity and how it manages the public sector and how those things intersect. One thing I'd be saying to you is you need to get better systems for how you negotiate and deal with industry sectors, because when you make changes like you're proposing, people lose businesses, people's relationships are impacted, and this is not a tick and flick for us. This means our longevity in a business. Hopefully this message gets through to the minister. So what I will do, gentlemen, is put contact information around where people can get to this review process to have their say. Make sure you get something back either online or you mail it to the department, whether you're a commercial operator, a charter operator, or whether you're a rec fisher. Please make your views known to the government, and this is one way to do that.
Can I just say one thing before we conclude, Eric? Can I just say that the majority of the working group have not agreed with the full process? I read a lot of stuff on social media where the working group gets tarred with the brush of the working group have said this, the working group have agreed on this. Majority of the stuff, no, we haven't agreed on what QF have put out there, but we're battling on and trying to get the best outcome. It's been a pretty one-sided affair for the working group. So it has been a bit of a, bash your head against the desk. So don't think the working group's just sat there and agreed with everything that QF have said, because that's definitely not true.
A couple of key themes from the podcast for your consideration. The first, that the Spanish Mackerel Working Group had no role in developing the stock assessment. Two, that the Spanish Mackerel Working Group members bring a massive knowledge base as part of their work on the working group that's largely been ignored. Despite calls from the working group members to slow down and reconsider the management options proposed by Fisheries Queensland. And thirdly, that there is agreement across commercial, recreational and charter sectors that there is something very wrong with the science that is being used to underpin current management thinking. Again, to remind those that are listening, we've got 6 days to provide feedback to the department. Please make your thoughts known. I'll put the description and I'll put the information needed to provide a submission on the podcast description on this Facebook post, of course. Enjoy the long weekend and we'll catch you all on the next podcast.